Been thinking a lot about seek ye first the kingdom of God lately, and I've kind of been debating, oh, what am I going to preach on this and that? So I'm going to take you to, or I just pulled it out. We're going to go to Matthew 6, and I'm going to read a few little things here. I think starting in verse 19. And I'm going to skip a lot of verses, so I'm going to keep my sermon down. I think it's only about an hour and a half.
Amen.
I'll be lucky if it goes 20 minutes, but as last time, it probably will go way longer than that. Let's see. Verse 19 says, everybody's there. Amen. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I'm going to skip down to verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And I'm going to skip on down to verse 33 now. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I was thinking a lot about that, and you know, for most of the world, and we've heard this recently in some sermons, most of the world, this is what they care about: food, raiment, food, raiment. For us, some of us, that may be still where we are. I spent the first 30 years of my life, food and raiment was pretty much it. But in recent years, I've become more American. I have my toys and all my little things I love. So now it's more about stuff. I'm very materialistic, God forgive me. And but it doesn't matter which one of those two boats you're in. Whichever those two boats, and maybe I'm the only sinner here, but I bet not. I think a lot of us tend to put other things ahead of God. I know I do. I have so many other things that seem so important to me, my work, my motorcycle, my other things that we won't say online, my toys, you know. But that's really not very important in the big scheme of things, and hopefully God can keep me straightened out on that. This afternoon, actually really late afternoon after I finished the sermon, I knew that I needed to make a phone call. And because it's really easy to say, okay, I got to take care of this because my truck doesn't, the four-wheel drive's not working. So I got to go to Oklahoma and have my buddy put it in. I'll be gone all weekend. They got a nice church down there. I can go down there. That's true. There's a great church in Bartlesville, but it's not my church. And so he prayed for me that I would not just go down there because I really need to be here. So maybe after youth takeover, I can leave and be gone Monday instead of Sunday. How about that for an idea? I think it's a good one. So anyway, I made that phone call this afternoon and kind of rescheduled that. And it might seem minor, but it's major to me because I know that when I go down there on Friday night and I'm going to come back Saturday night, and it never happens, I get frustrated with myself, and I know you know it's going to happen. It's like, I hate to use this example, but it's like an alcoholic going to the bar. It'll be cool, man. I can handle it. So, no, Eric, you can't handle it. If you get down there Friday night, you're going to be there till Sunday afternoon. Cut it out. You know? So, we've all got our things, and lack of discipline might be mine. So, anyway, I'm going to get into the sermon finally. That was all free. So, what does it mean when the Lord tells us to seek first the kingdom of God? Does it mean the first thing we should do is seek lost souls? It might. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. If it's not the main thing, it's one of the main things. Does it mean that we should seek Him first in our thought life, our activities, our finances, spending decisions? When I get a big check, might mean that. Our future plans and goals. That's some things that I haven't really been submitting to the Lord, but I think our future plans and goals are really important. Are we consulting God? Am I consulting? Whoa, I did it again this time. I wasn't going to do that. I really wasn't, but here it is. So now that we've got that memory, I really feel like I need to start doing that. And if you pray for me for that too, then I'll just have a big prayer meeting that Eric will start submitting his plans and goals to the Lord and maybe make it to the Northwest, whatever that conference thing is that's coming up. Maybe I'll get a little bit more of a heart for God instead of a heart for my hobbies. So I challenge you to do that. That's one of the things I need to do, start putting my plans before God instead of just going, yeah, I'm going to do that. Does it mean to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5? Is that part of seeking first the kingdom of God, maybe? Does it mean to avoid distractions that drain our resources and our strength so that we never really accomplish God's purpose for our life because we're too worn out, don't have the time or the money left over after all of our hobbies to do it? I'm preaching to me primarily. I don't know what your hang-ups are, but I got a bunch of them. So just FYI, it's not about you. Unfortunately, it's all about me. I'm the guy with all the hang-ups up here. So I believe that it has also to do with the law of sowing and reaping. But I think there's more to it than that. This is going to be my primary text, I think. Psalm chapter 1. I can find it here. I had it marked. It opened pretty easy. Must be because I've read it so much. Okay, Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I got that highlighted down here. It says, delight in bright yellow letters is in the law of the Lord. Is this where I'm delighting? I struggle with it. I tell you, at least for 45 minutes this afternoon, I was delighting in it. It was probably the happiest 45 minutes in the last month that I've had. I like to say I do that every day. Okay, I'll start over again. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, how much? Day and night? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You say, well, I think it's too late for me. I've wasted my life. I'll get a witness. But that's not true. Not so. God knew every decision you and I were going to make before He ever called us to salvation, before we were ever born, before the creation of the world. He knew all the mistakes I was going to make. And he still called to me for salvation. So he's not shocked. And he still has a plan for me. He still has a plan for you. And he's just waiting for us to respond so that he can use us. Would God help us to remember how sovereign that he is. I ran across Joel this afternoon. I was kind of looking for something to go with this message, and I found Joel chapter 2. Joel is a book written to Judah to call them to repentance, as frequently they weren't doing very well. I can relate. And I'm going to read a little bit of that to you. He wanted them to return to him and seek his forgiveness for their sin. Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 12. You can follow along if you want to. You can look it up later. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye... Oh, I better back up a second. Before this, like the first 12 verses in this chapter, is all the judgments that are about to come if they don't repent. And it's not pretty. But God's saying, look, this is what's going to happen, but I don't want it to. So repent, turn to me. I want to repent of what I'm about to do to you. If you repent, I will not do that. So he's given them all the warnings and all the bad things that's going to happen. And then he says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments. He doesn't want an outside show. Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, etc. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage a reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Oh, did I put that in there twice? No, I don't believe so. He just repeated himself. I had a couple of times where I had put things in a bunch of times. So he's just repeating himself. And with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Skip down to verse 21. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. I thought about making that my life verse, just because I feel like the locusts have eaten a lot of the years of my life. And it's easy to meditate on that and worry about that, but that's not where God wants my focus to be. He wants me to be focused on Him. The devil wants me to focus on all the stuff that I failed to do. I think God wants me to be focused on Him and all the things that He wants me to do in the future. It's kind of scary surrendering to God. It's a lot easier just to go through the normal routine. But there's not very many blessings there. So, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Well, since I'm almost done, I guess we've got plenty of time to read the scripture that I wanted to read. So we're going to go to Psalm 91. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Didn't know a guy could be thirsty after five words, did you? Okay, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee. With His feathers, under His wings, thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This isn't really supposed to be my main text or anything, but there's a couple things in there that just stand out to me that goes along with the message. And it has to do with, let's go back, let me see, let me look back here at the last page. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, blah, blah, blah. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 91, verse 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's the person that's meditating in the Word of God, the person that's hiding himself in the secret place of the Most High. I gotta believe this is that. Is there someplace else we need to hide? I don't think so. I think it's right here. And then towards the end of the chapter, because He hath set His love upon me. Do I love the Lord? Do I love His Word? Is that where I'm seeking my refuge at? Or am I seeking my refuge in my hobbies? Running off, well, I need to run off to work even more disciplinedly, but sometimes I run off to work just because it's the only thing I know how to do that I feel good about. Delight yourself in the Word. The Word is like the water of life in Psalm 1. I'm going to turn back there right quick. Nope. Yes, His delight is... He's like the tree of, like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. There's two different kinds of trees pictured here. There's the one that's all dried up and withering, the wicked, you know, the ungodly. The leaves are falling off. It's not producing anything. and there's the tree planted by the rivers of water. And I really lean towards this being the river of water. It, for the saved people that have the Holy Spirit anyway, this is the rivers of water. And the Holy Spirit, when He applies this to our lives, this is that river of water that gives us the leaves, the healthiness, the fruit, everything that God wants to produce in our life. It's the water. Are you thirsty? What are we delighting ourselves in? Are we delighting ourselves in things that bring forth fruit or just dry out our leaves? If we seek God first, we'll be like that tree, that healthy tree. And God will add to us all the things that we need generously. And that's just the side note. That's just the little gifts He gives to us. The main thing that He wants to do, those are so easy for Him. You need a car? Okay. You need food? Okay. But what He really wants to do is give us the gift that only comes through serving Him. The fruit, the water, the tree bearing fruit. You don't do that, you never know what it's like to have that. That's the blessing that fulfills your soul. And I confess to you that I have very little fruit. But the Word of God is clear that this is what He wants us to be like. If we seek God first, He'll give us all these things. If we seek our desires first, we'll probably end up accomplishing a lot of our goals, meeting a lot of our deadlines and getting our dream, you know, some of our little dreams and things, but we'll end up dry and empty. But if we seek God first, He'll give us time for soul winning. And He'll give us time for the important things in our lives. I took a class 20 or 30 years ago. I got my first Franklin planner. Do you remember when the Franklin planners first came out and they taught you, okay, this is how I got to run here and run there and do this, and this is an emergency and that's an emergency. I said, no, this is how you organize your life. You put the important things down first. You do those first. You don't worry about the things that are emergencies, because emergencies are always going to be popping up. You do the things that really matter first, because there's throughout your day there's going to be 400 things come up, and if you're just pulled off to the side by every little thing that comes up in your life that seems urgent, it may not be as urgent as we emotionally think it is. And I think God wants us to focus on the important things and let Him help us with the other things that come up. And maybe just because somebody screams and hollers that something has to be done, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. And if it's a true emergency, you know, something, somebody's house on fire, you know, we'll deal with that. But I think God will give us the time to do the important things in our life if we put Him first. He'll give us the time for soul winning. He'll give us the time for recreation. He'll bless us with what we need. It may not always be what we think we need. So, I'm going to read Proverbs 16, verse 3. This is one of my favorite verses also. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. If your thoughts aren't established, there's not a whole lot else in your life that's going to go very well. I struggle with that a lot, brain fog and so on. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. He will help you to think the way He wants you to think. He will help you to accomplish the things that you need to accomplish. And maybe some of those other things you'll forget, and that's probably okay. He's just waiting for us to surrender our lives to Him and trust Him so that He can help us to set our priorities the way they're supposed to be. So let's, in conclusion, let's dedicate ourselves to God, to seeking Him and His glory so that He can accomplish His work through us and give us His best instead of our best, because our best will never be as good as His. If we do that, we can be sure we will be full. Oh, I did it again. And not empty. We are created to glorify God. Let us be thankful that we can know Him and be a part of His kingdom. Rejoice in Him and spread His love. The heavens declare the glory of God. Let us declare the glory of God as well. Let us not be put to shame by the clouds and the sun and the stars. Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the privilege it is to read Your Word and to discuss Your Word and to talk about it, to share it together and to meditate on it, to try to understand what it is that You want us to do. Pray that You'll help us to remember where our focus needs to be, and to keep ourselves in the pattern that You want us to be in, close to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Chad.